Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and the Zeichen Nishmas and Miriam Frill and Miriam B'Shaim Yitzchak Allah HaShem, Nishem Mishin Merit and Aliyah and the Zchus of our Torah learning. So we are on page 182, please, of the second Sefer. Let's go. Page 182, please, of the second Sefer. Okay, we finished the, do you want to move closer? Or you want to sit there? Okay, we finished the section last time, so we're up to the work with the ratzon differs for each individual. So ratzon means like a desire, really having a desire to attain something or to achieve something. Page 182. The work with the ratzon differs for each individual. Obviously, every person has a different ratzon for different things. Even though everybody looks the same from the outside, basically, we are also different. Let us begin with a simple point. A person knows that his purpose is to be close to his creator. How does this become one's daily and hourly feeling? I don't know if anybody saw this past week in Mishpacha magazine, this last Shabbos, the article about the viewpoint. There's the 50th anniversary since the moon landing. Did anyone see the article about, it was about different astronauts, not Jewish astronauts, and the effect that being on the moon and seeing the world, our world, from the moon had on them. And many of them became, I don't want to use the word religious, but more introspective, more humanitarian. They said with one thumb, one glove thumb, you could cover the whole globe. And all of a sudden they said if world leaders could see the earth from up there, that all-important border wouldn't be so important anymore. What is man? What is one man? A speck. And it made a really, like a very big impression on me this whole week, because when you think of one person vis-a-vis the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam, on the other, on one hand, one man is nothing. And on the other hand, one man is a whole entire world. What's our whole tafkid here? If we don't recognize that it's to become close to the Creator, if we don't give meaning to our lives, then life is meaningless. A person lives in a meaningless existence.
That one man, if you save one life, he said, Jews, I listened to online. Oh my God, you have
who?
To
I missed the beginning.
Why?
Yeah, Rubenstein or Jacobson, yeah.
Oh my God, he's amazing. He spoke to chaplains, not Jewish chaplains,
okay,
in the army. He spoke as the Jewish speaker.
And
imagine you're facing Goyim, and he said what the most important thing to Jews is, if you save one life, you save a whole world. And they were so impressed with him. He is so funny, but yet he's so deep. He's not stupid. He's a very, very erudite, bright fellow, but he really knows how to
drive a point home.
Yes, he knows how to.
And I was thinking a lot of. But I was thinking, so this was interviews with non-Jewish astronauts.
Yeah,
they actually, you read it? It made a huge impression on me. I can't tell you how much I'm thinking about it the whole week. When a person thinks of themselves vis-a-vis the universe, vis-a-vis the vantage point, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, on the one hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam is up there viewing us. One man is nothing. And they said, even though we've all seen pictures of the earth rising over the horizon, they said, the astronaut says, there is nothing like seeing it from there. It's incomprehensible, and they said, indescribable. On the other hand, how could it be that the same lowly man who, when from the vantage point of the Ribbono Shel Olam, okay, is nothing, on the same hand, on the flip side of the coin, that man is everything. He's a whole world. And that's really why the Kotzker says, it helps us understand more. The Kotzker says you have two pockets. In one pocket, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the whole world, Sanhedrin 37a, it was created for me. And on the other hand, Anochi Afer Ve'efer. And I was thinking even less than Afer Ve'efer. From that vantage point, the astronaut said, with one thumb, you cover the entire globe. What meaning do we have in our life if we do not strive to become closer to Ribbono Shel Olam, closer to the creator of this all? How does this become one's daily and hourly feeling? If you didn't see the article, it made a very big impression on me. If you can try and get it, I recommend it. If this is not achieved, one's entire Avodas Hashem is deficient. If you do not feel close to God, then your entire service of God is deficient. The Chazon Ish has written that 1 hour of learning with exertion is better than many hours of lazy study. So 1 hour, really a malus of the sweat of your brow, of putting yourself into your Avodas Hashem, your service of God, is better than many hours of lazy study. So I think of lazy study, I think of Rav Mordechai Gifter and his comments on the alarm clock. Rav Gifter, who was a Zecher Tzaduk Kol Shevracha, but is known as an American-born Gadol, that's even what it says on the front of his biography from Tells. Rav Gifter despised laziness. One particular incident that revolved around this trait occurred with his grandson, Eliezer Feuer, who served him for a number of years. This occurred during the...
Feuer.
I don't know. I said it wrong. F-E-U-E-R.
Feuer.
Feuer?
Feuer is F-U-H-R-E-R.
Okay, Feuer. Feuer? Okay, let's keep going. Let's go. This occurred during the time that Rav and Robertson Gifter were living in the dormitory. Eliezer's room, ladies come, and the Rosh Hashiva's apartment were in the same wing of the dormitory. Early one morning, Eliezer heard the Robertson getting ready to drive Rav Gifter to the yeshiva. Afterwards, she would go to her teaching job. Eliezer jumped out of bed, and he said, "Bobby, I need an alarm clock. Please make sure to get me one with a snooze button." Rav Gifter turned around. He was stunned. Snooze? It was everything Rav Gifter was opposed to. He let his grandson know in no uncertain terms exactly what he felt about snooze buttons on alarm clocks. Not only that, the next shmooze in the yeshiva was dedicated to how contrary a snooze button is to the concept of zrizus, alacrity, in our Avodas Hashem, the way one should rise in the morning. If one is accustomed to pushing off his awakening by the snooze button, this is a sign of laziness. So, as a person who pushes the snooze button, okay, sometimes we set the alarm ahead of time so we have time to push the snooze button. If you never use the snooze button, then call kavod, ladies, if you never use the snooze button, but for Rav Gifter, it was the antithesis of what Zerizos and Avodas Hashem should be. And this is what we just ran to say, for the Chazon Ish says, 1 hour of learning with exertion is better than many hours of lazy study. A person must jump like a lion, says the Mishnah Berurah, to serve their creator. Rav Gifter once commented incredulously, an alarm clock was meant to wake us up, yet we are using it to put ourselves to sleep. And we have to think, when we do serve the Ribbono Shel Olam Baruch Hashem, we have to make sure that it is not with many hours of atzlus, of laziness. The ratzon is strong, the result will be lasting. But if the ratzon is weak, there's almost no hope for anything meaningful to come from it. We have to have a strong desire to be close to God, and we have to embrace it and catch it. One of the favorite things of the Yetzer Hara is to make us lazy. Rav Gifter cherished life. He saw each moment as precious, a gift to be used properly. He loved productive people. And he was constantly encouraging his students to set goals for themselves. One time, when he's already confined to a wheelchair, a young man stopped his baseball playing to wait for the Rebbetzin to wheel her husband by. Rav Gifter called out to the Bacher, "What are you looking at? An old man, play ball. And if you aren't playing ball, then go to the base medrash and learn something. You have to be productive." He was merely echoing a sentiment of 40 years from before, when he would say to a group of boys playing baseball, "Hit a home run." He would often shout to encourage boys as they played ball. And he would say, ready? It's in Yiddish. I'm going to try first in Yiddish, then translate it. A mensch darf tun alts mit sein ganz koach. A zoi darf sein in leben. A person must do everything he does with his entire strength. How did I do?
Good.
Oh yeah? Okay. This is the way it must be done. So whatever you're doing, so if you're playing ball, he was saying, then you have to play ball. And if you're going to the base medrash, then you have to go to the base medrash. Otherwise, the tendency of not doing so will insinuate itself into everything you do. His famous line was, if you fool around in the afternoon during secular studies, you will be one who wastes time learning in the morning. But the actual Hebrew word, it's better. If you are batel in the afternoon, you'll become a batlan in the morning. And one time, a yeshiva boy, one more vignette, was leaving yeshiva to further secular education. He came to Rav Gifter to say goodbye. Rav Gifter said, "Make sure you make a Kiddush Hashem. Do you know what that means? It means getting A's and not B's." And it's a very big muster, because sometimes, in certain educational models or places, there's a mahalach that in the secular realm, we don't have to do so well. What? Say, what did you say?
I
didn't hear.
The kids decide on their own.
No way. The Gemara says a child talks in the shuk the way the parents talk in the market. It's not that the kids decide on their own. We're not going to have a whole discussion on it now, but it's definitely, the kids don't decide things on their own. Where do they know something on their own from? They know when they're hungry. They learn it either from the home or from the institution that they're in. Say it again.
It's more of a boy issue, not a girl issue.
Right, okay. Whatever it is, it is. It's a boy issue. My point is that this to Rav Gifter, this was unacceptable. A person cannot be lazy in anything that they're doing. If it's in Dvarim Shebektusha, and if it's in something chol, then you have to do it properly. 1 hour of exertion is better than many hours of laziness. That is to say, if the ratzon is strong, the result will be lasting. But if the ratzon is weak, there is almost no hope for anything meaningful to come from it. And we have to know that into our own lives as well. If I'm doing something, then I already have to do well. And I have to do it with zrizus, and I have to do it with alacrity. I have to try and meet my goals with a strong desire to meet my goals. Although we are bringing up the issue of ratzon in this discussion of yira, so really what are we talking about? We're talking about, if you recall, the chapters entitled Fear Due to Perfection. So we're really still talking about yira Hashem, to revere the Almighty. Right? The truth is that it is necessary even prior to this level. Each person is unique. Ladies, we're on like the second last paragraph of page 182. Each person is unique in the middle. One person may lack a natural ratzon to attain emunah, such that he must arouse a ratzon for it. So we're created with certain feelings and certain emotions, and we have to overcome any deficiencies or negativity within ourselves. But the reality is that some people have a stronger desire for emunah. Some people have a stronger desire for prayer. Some have a stronger desire for chesed. That's how we're created. In fact, the less of a desire you have to attain a certain level, the more you attain it, the greater your reward is. Lefum tsa'ara agra, according to the efforts. If something comes very easy to you, so Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to give you such a big medal for that thing. It's very nice you did it, but it was easy for you. If you're by nature not an angry person, okay? You're by nature. You don't have a Yetzer Hara for kas. Okay? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Some people have, some people don't have. If you don't have that taiva for kas, you're not going to get such a reward for being a calm person. You're going to be rewarded for something else. Why? Because you don't have a natural negative ratzon. So here he says each person is unique. One person may lack a natural ratzon to attain emunah. He naturally does not feel that he needs emunah, such that he has to arouse the ratzon for it. You know, my boys were just talking. We were talking about at the Shabbos table the other week, based on Matuva Lechayak, Mishkinesach Yisrael, the Gemara says this is Batei Knisios, Ubatei Midrashos, and Mesechah Sanhedrin. So we looked at the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, and it's a very big problem to talk in Shul. It's not so Pasha at all. The Shulchan Aruch says, 24/7, everybody could remember this, because if Hashem is Echad, then 24/7 you can't talk in Shul. It works, it's true. The Shulchan Aruch says, Aruch Chaim 24/7, that someone who talks, it's asur to have idle chatter during Chazar Sashatz. One who does is a chote, he is a sinner. V'gadol avono minsoa, his sin is too great to bear. V'go arimbar, and you have to chastise him. And along comes the Ramar of Moshe Isuris, and he says, if you want to teach your children, why you should say in shul, you should teach them to say amen. And the Mishnah Berurah says, unbelievably, we have seen many batei knesios, we've seen many shuls that have been destroyed, he quotes the Shlah, that have been destroyed because of the sin of talking during Chazar Sashat. So, the kids are, we were talking about the Shabbos table last week. Okay. The boys had a bar mitzvah, so in the afternoon they didn't daven in our shul. So I asked them, how did it go with no talking in shul? So one of them, it's not a taiva for him. There's no struggle. It's not a problem. Doesn't talk. Before we learned the Mishnah Berurah inside and the Shulchan Aruch, the Moshe Israelis, and he does talk. And the other one said he tried very hard. So the one who was not a problem was a little upset. So I said to him, you know, Hashem rewards more for the one who struggles and it's hard and you try. That doesn't mean you're perfect at it all the time, but you worked so hard at it. You got big schar for that. Because you're trying, because you know where you're supposed to be going, and it's not an easy avoda. Doesn't mean that your Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't value all of our mitzvos, but when we feel something so hard, I'm talking to myself, and something is so hard for us, and we overcome, that's so precious to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's so precious to Ribbono Shel Olam. So you have to work on what you don't naturally feel, more than what you naturally feel. If you naturally don't have a taiva to work and talk and shul, then you need to work on something else. I don't mean you. I'm saying everyone use their own example. What comes naturally for me, I need to work on it, but it's easier for me. But what about what's difficult for me? That's where I need to invest my full amelos, with full exertion. Yes?
So there are so many techniques that work for me. You could really work it out. I take a separate Tehillim, and I get to say the entire Tehillim for Shabbos by not talking. In other words, it really works. So, because I'll tell you what the problem is. If someone, especially women, it's considered very unfriendly if I don't. But if they see me saying Tehillim,
Okay, so let me just, one second. So a couple of women told me, I mean, we learned the sources inside, it was much more in depth, and we're having this discussion, you know, on Regal Echas, it was an Erish year. But a couple of women said they stand the whole time. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it's important. They stand the whole time, this way no one talks to them. Okay? You have to be careful with what you just said. One is not supposed to be doing anything else during Chazar Sashat, besides for listening to the Chazan.
When they're leaning, I'm talking about when they're selling aliyah.
In between.
What do you mean? I'm leaning. I'm following the leaning.
It's too many people.
She's talking about the in between.
Oh, I thought you were talking about during Chazar Sashat. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, because you have to be careful. Did you say that and I didn't hear?
Okay, one second.
But it wasn't said, so how would I know you're talking about that? One second, please. And I once heard Rabbi Penner say something very interesting, Rabbi Menachem Penner. He said something very interesting at Tefillah Shir. He says, it's so interesting that all of a sudden during Chazar Sashat, everybody becomes such a Talmud Chacham. The people who never pick up a Sefer, instead of following along inside, you remember when he said this goes back a few years ago when he said this Shir, but it made an impression on me. He said, all of a sudden everyone's a Talmud Chacham. Now they're picking up a Sefer to learn. Chazar Sashat is not the time. You did not state what you meant, so I apologize. It's not the time, but anyone else listening to this has no, Chazar Sashat is not the time for Tehillim. I don't mean you. I mean anyone else who's doing it. And it's not the time to catch up on your Stein Mikvah V'Echad Targum. And it's not the time to read a Parsha Dvar Torah because you're not such a tzaddik now. But Penner said, it's not appropriate. Salvechik would stand not moving the entire Chazar Sashas, and he felt if you missed a word, then the Kayim Michal says the hearing loss, this is a different situation. But a normal Baruch Hashem hearing person, the Rav held that if you missed a word, then you were not Yosef with the Tefillah. So we have to be very careful. Talking is a tremendous chay, and the Mishnah brings down, that Mishnah Brewer brings down, that we have seen many Batei Knisios that were destroyed because of Avon Zeh. Yes?
So Debbie Isaacowitz gives out...
Debbie who?
Debbie Isaacowitz.
Who is she? Okay.
She has a neighbor,
so she does a kumsitz every year, so she gives out bookmarks. And on the book where it says, I've taken upon myself not to speak in shul.
We have the Chavetz Chaim
putting out 10 years ago.
So I just want to say one more interesting thing about this. You know, after Shir last week, ladies, come. Ladies, I want to tell you one more interesting thing. Something else that was interesting that I found after the Shir, which was taught in a number of different venues. Again, it was an hour Shir, looking at many sources. The tendency is for us to say, someone else does it. Or a lot of comments I heard were the problems with the opposite gender talking to. So I think one of the important things we need to try and internalize in all of our learning is not to be saying, what about them? But saying, how can I improve my kavana, my silence, my concentration in any area? So I want to tell you a beautiful verse. I gave a different shir yesterday about something else, but I said this idea that we can't look at others, we have to look at ourselves. So my daughter, who was in the shir, and I said, I wish you would have interrupted me because it related beautifully to her shir. She said she just finished 10th grade TMM, and she said they learned in Pirkei Avos when the Mishnah teaches, Asei lecha rav, I just gave a whole shir on this on Monday. Asei lecha rav, knei lecha chaver, havei danas ka adam lechav sichos. Asei lecha rav, make for yourself a rav. It's in the Lashon Yachid. They learned in school, Asei lecha rav. When you hear an area of Avodas Hashem that needs improvement, don't worry about everybody else. Asei lecha rav, take the Musar Haskel, the chastisement, the lesson for yourself, and say, how can I improve? So it's very important. Let's go back inside. Each person is unique. One person may lack a natural ratzon to attain emunah, such that he must arouse a ratzon for it. It's hard for him. A person might feel, he feels a disconnect. It's hard for him to have emunah peshuta in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Another may lack a natural ratzon to pray. He doesn't feel that tefillah is vital. Someone said something?
Yeah, yes. That struck me. I don't know. It just struck me. Yeah, because I saw that. Anyway, that's why I said that.
Okay.
It just struck me. That's all.
His avoda is to arouse a ratzon for that. So I want to share a beautiful idea. That same person does not feel a ratzon for tefillah. Sometimes you feel more connected. Sometimes you feel less connected. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. You're in a rush. Something came up. Whatever. You have to listen to this unbelievable teaching of Chazal. This is from Maseches Sanhedrin, Kuf Hei, Amud Beis, 105b. Last week's parasha was Parashas Balak. Balak hires Bilam, Balak the king of Moab, hires Bilam the sorcerer, the prophet, to curse the Jews. Okay, we all know the curses are not successful. He comes up with another brilliant idea that is successful. Unfortunately, the story continues in Parshas Pinchas. But Balak hires Bilam to curse the Jews. Now, if you remember, before every attempt to curse the Jews, what do Balak and Bilam do? Does anyone remember?
They try to make them do something wrong?
No.
So they change the place.
Oh, I'm going to talk about that in a second. That's after. One second. That's after it doesn't work. They say, let's change our place. Hold your thought. What do they do first? They offer korbanos. B'nei b'zeh shavim b'zechos. They offer korbanos. Listen to what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. I'm specifically bringing this to you because we talked about lack of ratzon in tefillah. It's very important. Le'olam ya'asok adam b'torah uva mitzvah afilu shalo lishma. A person should always be osek, involved in, engaged in Torah and mitzvos, even lo lishma, not for the sake of the Torah and mitzvah, but you have some ulterior motive, you have some subjectivity, you have something to gain from it. It's not purely for the sake of God. You have an ulterior motive. Shem mitoch, shelo lishma, balishma. Because if you do it by row, by habit, even when you're not in the mood, even for an ulterior motive, eventually it will come to be that you're doing it because you want to serve God. Who do we learn this from? Well, I introduced by talking about Balak and Bilam. Shabishar arba'im ushtaim karbano shehikriv Balak. As a reward, this is Sanhedrin Kuf Hei, 105b. For a reward for the 42 korbanos that Balak offered up to the Ribono Shel Olam, to God, Zacha v'yatza mimenu, who's he the king of? Balak, Malach, Moav. Zacha v'yatza mimenu. What did he do to be the great-great-grandfather of Melech HaMashiach?
It's pretty disgusting.
No! No, it's a chizuk. La'olam yasok adam. No, no. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. La'olam yasok adam b'torah mitzvah fi shalolishma. Shamitok shalolishma balishma. I said this all in English already. Shabishar arbay mushtaim karbano shehigru balak zacha v'yatza mimenu rus. Rus ha-moavi. Who was the, with Boaz, became ultimately the grandparents of David and Malach. They had Oved, who had Yishai, who had David, who will have Malach and Mashiach. Why? Because he offered korbanos. Now his intention was not L'shem Shemayim. He was not trying to be, you know, this nice from Jew going up to the base of Mikdash, bringing his korban nedava. He was trying to curse Klal Yisrael, but nevertheless, he did an action of offering korbanos. Listen to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yose Bar Huna. Rabbi Yose Bar Huna says, Rus, Bito shall Eglon, Ben Bino shall Balak, Melach, Moav, Haisa. Rus was the daughter of Eglon, who was the great-great-granddaughter of Balak, the king of Moav. Now, Balak set up 7 korbanos in each of 3 places. We need to talk about that for a minute, because the first thing you said, they changed places. Hold your thought. I said to hold your thought. On each altar, he offered a bull and a ram. This totals 42 offerings. He brought these offerings for ulterior motives. I'm just quoting from the footnote in the art scroll. Tosfos explains that Rus lived generations after Eglon, not his actual daughter. She was descended. She was the progeny after a few generations of Eglon. In a reward for his sacrifices, he merited to have Rus as his descendant, the great-grandmother of King David. We learn that an ill-intentioned act that leads to a positive result does not go unrewarded. Ultimately, Bilam blessed the Jews. He brings korbanos. Bilam blessed the Jews. And ultimately, blessing comes back to him. It's unbelievable. What should we take it as a chizuk as? Doesn't mean you should try and serve Hashem shalom lishma. Shouldn't try serve Hashem for kavod or for money or I don't know, for any other reason, ulterior motive that we serve Hashem. But Lamaisa, sometimes you don't feel you have such a strong ratzon. Sometimes you lack a natural ratzon in Amuna. Sometimes you never look to Hashem and says, where are you in my life? How did this happen to me? Not that you're going to get an answer, so it's not such a good question. But maybe Lamaisa, it happens to me. It happens to me. I'm a human being. We're people. And the world is not such an easy place all the time. And sometimes you say, Hashem, what are you doing? Everything's so easy for you. How could you do this? When I think of that for myself in a certain Nisayon or certain Nisyonos, and then I think of Hadar Golden and Aaron Shaul, I say, Hashem, it's so easy for you. It's so easy for you. Right now, you could bring them home. But we don't understand. Obviously, we don't understand the calculations of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But what do you do when you hit a brick wall, so to speak? When you don't feel on fire necessarily, keep going. A person should never, chas v'shalom, give up on their avodas Hashem. Mitoch shelo lishma, bal lishma. If Balak could be rewarded as becoming the great-great-grandfather of David, of Melech HaMashiach, then certainly the Ribbono Shel Olam will see our avodas very precious. Yes?
I guess my husband, I absolutely love Bilam's bracha. I thought it was like...
You loved what?
Bilam's bracha. I said, God, did Hashem give him something? He goes, what are you, crazy? The guy was the biggest Rasha.
His last name is Rasha, yeah.
Right, so I go, but he said something so beautiful. He says, because it changed. He didn't want to say that. He doesn't get rewarded for... But somehow, Balak is getting rewarded for just the karbanos. Bilam was the one that actually spit out... this most beautiful thing.
Bilam is just a conduit for a bracha. The Sifrei says in Vizosa Bracha, Lo kam Navi Bisrael Kamosho Shayad Hashem Panim Al Panim. So the Sifrei says, Be Yisrael Lo kam Aval Be'uma Sa'olam Kam. Who was it? Bilam. Bilam's Nevuah was on a very high level, on par with the Nevuah, say Chazal, of Moshe Rabbeinu. As a personality, his last name was Rasha. Hashem chose him as a conduit for blessing. The blessing was not from him. It has nothing to do with him. It's not his personality. It's not him. His last name is Rasha. How do we know that's his last name? Because that's how the Mishnah calls him in Pirkei Avos, which I'm about to quote, yeah? I don't want to have a whole conversation about Bilam, like, about his personality, yeah? Okay, I never heard it. Could be. I have no idea. Balak and Balaam, I never heard that in my life. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I never heard that. Call me Shiesh Bo Shlosha Dvarim Halalu, who mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu. Everyone who has these three things, who possesses these three character traits, is a student of Avram Avinu. Ushlosha Dvarim Acherim, who mitalmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha. So how do we know his last name's Rasha? I don't say his last name's Rasha, because I'll say in Pirkei Avos, Parakei, Mishnah Chav Beis, his last name is Rasha. If you have these three traits, you're the student of Avram Avinu. If you have three other traits, you're the student of Bilam Rasha. Talmid of Shel Avram Avinu. What are the three traits of a Talmud of Avram Avinu? Ayin Tova. You look at everybody and everything in the world around you with a good eye. Ruach Nemucha, a low spirit, meaning you're humble, you're not looking for the spotlight. V'nefesh Shefala, and a low soul. Once again, this idea of humility, not demanding, not interested in fame, not high maintenance, you're just a low, you understand your place. You understand that with one thumb, the astronauts could cover up your whole world. Talmid of Shel Bilam HaRasha. What about the students of Bilam HaRasha? Ayin Ra'ah. They look at everything. By the way, that's the first listed negative trait, because everything follows from either an Ayin Tova or an Ayin Ra. All good midos follow from an Ayin Tova. If you see the good, then your other midos will follow. And if you see the ayin ra, literally means bad eye. If you see the bad, then other negative midos will also follow. Ruach gevoha, nefesh rechavai. He had a haughty spirit and a broad soul. He was greedy. Ma bein talmidav. Ah, this relates to our discussion about Gehenna a few weeks ago. Ma bein talmidav shel Avram Avinu talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. What's the difference between the talmidav of Bilam HaRasha and Avram Avinu? Talmidav Shel Avram Avinu ochlim ba'olam hazeh v'nochalin ha'olam haba. They eat in this world and they will inherit in the next world. Abat, the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha, what are they going to inherit? Gehenim and Be'er Shachas, the depths of Sheol and Gehenim. So, you mentioned that he was always changing his place. So when Rabbi Willig is away in the summer, Rabbi Jonas Steinmetz, who is a very young and tremendous budding Talmud Chacham, Talmud of Rav Herschel Schechter, now he learns in Kol, now he's in Rav Meir Tversky Shir Shlita. He's there, he enjoys Shirim very, very much on the show, really brilliant. So he gave a beautiful chabura after davening last week, and my husband told it over at the table. And it's important for us, and it also relates to what you said about switching the place. Why do Chazal compare Bilam and Avram? Why not, he said, Yaakov and Esav? Why not Yitzchak and Yishmael? Why not Paro and Moshe? Why not Haman and Mordechai? You could tell me about others that you could take a tzaddik and you could take a rasha. There are many pairs through Tanakh, and you could compare these two. Why specifically Avram and Bilam? Okay, so he said something very, very beautiful, and it relates to what you just said. If you look in the Chumash, they're constantly changing their place. Who? Balak and Bilam. They curse, they say, oh, it doesn't work here, let's try over here. It doesn't work here, let's try over here. It doesn't work here, let's try over here. They bring karbanos, which is a form of prayer. They're davening nebuch v'hatzlacha in their mission. And then when it doesn't work, what do? Let's try over there. That's a very important fundamental halacha that we learn from the tefillos of Avraham Avinu. It's not those words, but what do we learn from Avraham Avinu related to what you're saying? Who remembers? Kol hakoveya makom l'tfilaso elokei Avram be'ezo. There is an important halacha and chashivus to makom tfila. A person is supposed to have a set place where they daven. You're not supposed to daven one day here at your kitchen table. I'm talking about us. We don't go to shul during the week. I don't believe you daven once at your kitchen table, and then the next time at the dining room chair, and then the living room couch, and then the basement couch, and the upstairs bedroom. You're supposed to daven. You have a makom kavua litfila. What did Bilam and Balak, what were they always doing? Bilam, who's trying to curse the Jews, and he's asking God for assistance. Every time it doesn't work, what does he do? He says, maybe I'll try over there, maybe I'll try over there. Who remembers at what point does Avram go back to the same place? It's in Perikut Tes of Bereishis. Avram also davens. What does he daven for? Did they say and I didn't hear? Because if you did, they say.
No, I'm laughing. Like, I would know it's a pasuk in Perikut Tes or pasuk Tes. I mean, I'm just laughing.
No, Perikut Tes.
I'm laughing that you would think that I would know, like that. Maybe the other people here. But.
So I have a very high opinion of everybody that I learn with, and I'm sure that when I say it, you're all going to say, "Oh yes, I knew that." Avram also davens. He davens for tzlach also. He davens that Sodom and Gomorrah should not be destroyed. He wakes up in the morning, and what happens?
He sees the
smoke. It's smoking, like the smoke of a lime pit, and everything's destroyed, and God turns it over. Vayashkim Avram baboker, el hamakom, asher aman shames p'nei Hashem. What does Avram Avinu do?
Same place.
He goes back to the exact same place. And he davens again. He does not feel his prayers were rejected. He feels that I don't understand the cheshbonos of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but this is my makom. Let's understand that makom is not only the intent, it's the place, it's also, makom is one of the names of, the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the makom Shel Olam. Go read that article on the astronauts. You understand what it means, that God is the makom Shel Olam. He is the place of the world. The world is not his place. God does not inhabit our world. We inhabit God, so to speak. Avraham Avinu didn't just go. It's not just about Mishana Makom. He understood that my Makom, this is where I have a rendezvous with the Ribbono Shel Olam every day. And if my tefillos were not answered in the way that I asked, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I, with my human lackings and failings, don't understand, but I'm going back to the same place. My Avodas Hashem will not change. I'm not going to try here and then try there and fly by night and be all over the place. I will establish my connection with God, HaMakom, the place, lowercase p, with the place, uppercase p. This is what Rabbi Jonas Steinmetz told over. What a var. I just want to tell you where the Gemara is. The Gemara is in Maseches Brachos, Vav, Amid Beis. Okay, the Gemara is in Brachos 6b. Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna. Kol hakoveya makom l'tfilaso, elokei Avram be'ezro. Anyone who establishes a set place for prayer, the God of Avram is with him. Ukish, oh, 1 second. And how do we know this? I'm skipping a little bit of the Gemara. Okay. Vayashkim Avram Babokra al Malkom Asher Amad Sham. Ein Amida ala Tfila. Avram got up and he went back to the same place. And we know that this means that he davened. So, by designating a special place for prayer, we cultivate, this is what the footnote says, an attribute of humility. Remember the traits of Avram Avinu were also Ruach Nemucha, okay? Cultivate an attribute of humility, which is essential for concentration and for God's acceptance of prayer. Very, very beautiful. Then Hashem will help in the matter that he helped Avram. So the Rashba. That's so important about a place. A place reserved for prayer invokes an attitude of respect and awe. We have to use imagery and imagination. We've read a lot about it in the Sefer. We have to use imagery to cognitively try and bring ourselves to a place where I'm standing before the Kisei HaKavod. Lahavdil, Alfei of Dallas, please. The president has a set place. It's the White House. Why does he have a set place? Because it brings up the imagery of respect. I don't know, but... okay, and honor for the President of the United States of America. And there's a sense of awe for some people when they go into the White House. The Gemara says that you should make a bracha when you see a leader from the Ummah Sulam. I'm not giving a psak halacha. I don't know the next time anyone here is going to see the president anyway. But there's a certain sense of awe and respect to that place. So you and the Ribbono Shel Olam need to make a place. Think about it. Why does Hashem need the Mishkan? Hashem didn't need the Mishkan. We need a Mishkan for a place for us to converse, to serve, to meet God. A place, so the Rashba explains, a place reserved for prayer invokes an attitude of respect and awe. And these ideals, respect and awe, is the state of mind a person should have when he comes to pray. So when you go to that place, it brings you to a state of awe and respect. Just like if somebody would go, Lahavdil Alfei. Alfei of Dallas, when someone goes to the White House, they might feel more sense of reverence and awe than they would feel in the Stop and Shop down the block. It's a natural part of the place. Right? The Meiri comments, it's easier to concentrate when praying in a place specifically designated for that purpose. So I'm just wondering, you don't have to say, you don't have to answer. Do people here have, don't, you don't have to answer. It's just something to think about. If you do not have a makom kavua for tefillah in your home, then it's maybe a good idea to start working on this. So this is the place where I meet. This is a makom kadosh. And again, I don't know if it's halachic as related to the house because we're not going to base Knesset, but the idea that this is where I meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? Oh, 1 second. Okay, I thought it was just tremendous. So what's one of the main differences between Avram and Bilam that Chazal come and compare them? It is Makom HaTfila. Makom being the name of Hashem. So I just want to tell you, I reached out to Rabbi Steinmetz to ask him, is this Ha'ara from you or from a different source? Because I said, I'm very Makbid. I try, Bli Neder, when I quote, to be Makbid, to quote from proper. So I said, I'm still going to say it's from you, but it'll come from someone before you. So I just want to read his answer. Rav Baruch Epstein in Baruch Sha'amar, on Pirkei Avos, points out the contrast between Avram and Bilam in terms of the Makom Kavua. So this comes from Baruch Epstein, and Baruch Epstein in his commentary, Baruch Sha'amar, he's the one who points out Avram and Bilam have a difference in terms of Makom Kavua. He writes, it's a message of modesty by Avram, Bilam did not have. Why would it be a message of modesty to have the same place all the time? Because you're not like parading around showing everybody? I'm asking, I don't know.
Makes sense.
Okay. He, Rabbi Steinmetz wrote, I was just explaining further the difference between, so what does he take it as, Rabbi Steinmetz? The difference between an approach to tefillah as a steady, growing, ongoing relationship, which is represented in Makom Kavua, represents, you always go back to the same place. We're going to meet here again. We're going to meet here tomorrow. We're going to meet here the next day, which represents, as Rabbi Steinmetz, a steady, growing, ongoing relationship to prayer, as opposed to Bilam, it was just, let's go here, we'll try. It doesn't work, let's go there, we'll try, which indicates no sense of relationship forming. There's something to be said for the importance of a makom. Yes, beautiful. It's beautiful.
Travis, the three places that he went, I don't know if it's the first letter, it adds up to Shechem. Have you ever heard that? The three, the wall, they went to three places.
Okay.
Bilam went to three places.
1 second, yeah, and?
Whatever it adds up, it's Shechem. It adds up to
the Gematria. The Gematria, the three places he went to, adds up to the word Shechem.
Okay, I don't know. I know. Again, something I never heard. So I don't know. Okay?
From who?
So, okay, I never heard it, so I can't comment. Let's go. What is interesting is, I mean, I'm not dismissing your comment, chas v'shalom, but we can't, when we're talking about gematrias, adding up to sheker, you need to say what adds up to sheker. Mm-hmm. The name of the places where they went, the word three, right? So that's what I'm saying. I can't comment on something that I have no idea of what we're really talking about. One person, so in other words, big chizuk, I hope, for all of us, and something to keep in mind and to think about. If we lack a natural ratzon to pray, you don't feel tefillah is vital, or you feel disconnected, or you feel so small and insignificant, go back to the place where you davened. And even if, who do we learn that from? Avram Avinu, versus, I should say, Bilam, whose last name is Rasha. And even if it's lo lishma that day, okay? I'm doing it because I know it's the halacha, and I have to get it over with, and I don't feel so on fire, but I'm going to daven anyway, because that's what the halacha says I have to do. So then you have to remember Balak. And what does Balak teach you? That he offered 42 karbanos, and they were not l'shem shamayim, and he merited to become the great-great-grandfather of Rus, of David and Balak. Arouse your ratzon. Each person is born with a certain degree of ratzon, desire. It differs depending on the issue. Every person has a different ratzon for different things. One person will naturally want to perform acts of kindness. You have some people who are more gomei chasadim. Another person will want to learn Torah. It'll be hard for him to do acts of kindness. So one person is more Torah-dick inclined. One person is more chasadic inclined. A third person will want both, but it'll be hard for him to pray. By the way, he doesn't say this, but to me it's very, very obvious. Okay? Ashlosha dvarim ha'olam omeid ala Torah ve'ala voda ve'al ha. I'm in the bottom paragraph of page 182, if you don't know where I'm up to. Rabbi Shimon Haya Mishayare Anche Knesset HaGadola. Hu Haya Omer Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Amid. Rabbi Shimon teaches us, Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, on three things the world stands on: Torah, Avoda is Karbanos, we spoke about Karbanos tonight, / prayer, we spoke about prayer tonight, and finally, Gminus Chasadim. So look at the three things he talks about here. One person has a stronger degree for this, of Ratzon, and one person has a stronger degree of that. But even further, not only is the world upheld by those three things, but each one corresponds to one of the patriarchs. Torah corresponds to which of the patriarchs? Told us what? I didn't hear.
Yaakov
told us Perachov, hey, Yaakov Ishtam Vayigdalu Hanaarim, and what's Esav and Ishu Deatzayid, Ish Sada, and what's Yaakov? Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, says Rashi, Shem Ve'ever. Where did he sit? He sat in the yeshiva. Yaakov is the Av, the patriarch who holds up the world by Torah. What's Avoda? Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? Kachnas binchas yichid chasher havdas Yitzchak olech al eretz hamol riyal achad or yimashar akav aleu sham la'ola. Yitzchak is a korban. Yitzchak represents the pillar of avoda, divine service of korbanos. Today it's tefillah. Vayetzi Yitzchak l'suach besada lifnos erev. Yitzchak transfers this koch of being a korban into the koch of tefillah. Vayetzi Yitzchak l'ashem menuchach ishto ki akarahi. We know very little about Yitzchak. He's one of the most enigmatic of the forefathers, but we know that he was a korban, and then we know he transfers that to tefillah. And finally, the third pillar that holds up the world by process of, what's it called? Elimination. So, Gmilas Vasadim must be who?
Avram.
By the way, Rab Lau, Shlita, discusses this in his Yachal Yisrael, his commentary to Pirkei Avos, and then Avram Avinu is the pillar of Chesed. So, it's interesting. We see that each one of the Avos had a particular affinity for a certain area. One of them was more of a cheshek, desire and longing for Torah. Who? Yaakov. One had a stronger cheshek or desire for avoda, karbanos / prayer. Who? Yitzchak. And one's whole life was dedicated to Chesed, Avram Avinu. But you have to be careful, because with the Avos it's like a Venn diagram. It's not like Chas V'Sham. Avram was exclusively Chesed, and there was no Torah and there was no Avodah. And it's not like Yitzchak was only Avodah. So in the Venn diagram the circles overlap, but it does show us, the Torah is teaching us all the way from the book of Bereishis, Ma'isa Avos Simon Labanim, Ramban 12:6, everything that happened to the forefathers happens to us. Every person has a natural inclination for something else. So I might feel a stronger passion for Midas Chasadim. So I don't feel such a ratzon for Torah. Does it mean I'm excused?
No.
I don't feel a strong passion for tefillah, but I feel such a strong geshmak for sitting and learning with a sefer. Am I excused? No. Venn diagram. Cultivate your natural tendency. Maybe that's how you could serve Hashem best. Avram Avinu vayita esho be'er sheva vayikor sham b'shem Hashem kal elav. He planted an esho, achila, shasiya, levai, / lina. He gave his guests food, drink, laying down or accompanied them. His whole life was devoted to chesed. Nevertheless, he's the one who established tefillah shachris. from the pasuk that we already quoted from Perek Yud Tes. But we have to understand where your ratzon is. That's how might you bring your tafka to fruition. The person who started Tamchei Shabbos had a strong desire to do chesed. It doesn't mean they're exempt from tefillah and Torah. It means that's how they bring their tafka to fruition. Everyone here, al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omid, has a stronger inclination for one of those. Is it tefillah? Is it chesed? Is it Torah? It does not mean that you don't have to cultivate your ratzon in the other areas. Therefore, whatever issue one is working on first requires an arousal of ratzon, so he will truly want to work on it. Just one thought that I want to end with. I actually want to tell a story from Living Amuna, Malki. I don't have time, so Be'ezras Hashem, I'll do it next week. Be'ezras Hashem. But what I wanted to say is that I was once talking to my brother, and he said to me, related to this last line, work on arousing your ratzon. Whatever you choose that you want to work on, put your whole self into it. Similar to what Rav Gifter said, if you think this week you need to work on patience, then don't think about anything else. Not to neglect your brachos, not to neglect your tefillah, not to neglect your tznius. That's not what it means. It means those will be sort of on more autopilot, because you have to put your whole amelos, exertion, into if you want to work on patience this week. If you want to work on making Asher Yatzar better this week, you have in mind this week, this is my avoda, and put your whole... It doesn't mean drop. Please don't misunderstand. Chas v'sham. Nobody would think I would say that. All other areas of avodah Hashem, those sort of go to the back burner in terms of exertion, because it's hard to work on something that's not my natural tendency. But if you're going to do it, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it well. You know what I mean, says Rav Gifter? Get A's and not B's. So, Be'ezras Hashem, yes, we will continue next week.